Have you ever wondered how to pray for your nation and its leaders? Then don't miss today's Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland and his guest David Barton as they conclude their teaching, The Call to Pray for God to Heal Our Land.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and God is healing this land. In the name of Jesus, yeah. I'm saying it, man. Yeah. I'm saying it by faith. I'm saying it based on the Scripture.
Yeah.
Because we are following out what God said in 2 Chronicles 7. There are people all over this nation that are humbling themselves
right.
before, and have been doing it for a long
right.
time, dude.
That's right.
And seeking His face.
That's right.
And he said, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal
the land. And he is responding.
The land.
He is responding.
Let's go back over here now to the book of Isaiah again today. And let's look again at our instructions here and what the Lord said He would do. He's, first of all, He said, now come on now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to say, well, there ain't nothing we can do about this, man. I mean, it's gotten completely out of hand. Mm-hmm. The politicians have gone to hell in a basket and da-da-da-da-da. We can't change anything
yeah.
and give up. And the Lord said, no, come on now. Don't think like that. You don't get
that
idea.
They had Manasseh. He's telling them this at the reign of Manasseh, the most wicked of Judah's kings. It don't get any lower than that.
It don't get any worse than that. That guy, I don't want to get off on him.
Yeah, right.
But
you can still eat the good of the land with Manasseh over the land.
Yeah, and he said, come on now. Don't think like that. Think
that's
like,
right.
I'll take care of it. If you be willing and obedient,
that's
I'll
right.
do it. Mm-hmm. Now, what did he say he would do? He said, I will, in verse 25, I'll turn my hand upon you. Now, I don't care how bad the king is, and I don't care how bad governments are or who or what. They ain't no match for the hand of
That's
God.
Right.
And it's the hand of love. Mm-hmm. Love, all you have to do is be willing and obedient, and you'll eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
He's there to give you the good again. But if you refuse and rebel, I'm telling you, it'll come down on you. There's an opposite side of that thing, and God doesn't have to turn His hand over and slap you.
Mm-hmm.
You just do the opposite from what He says. It'll slap you.
You're slapping yourself at that point. That's a self-inflicted
thing. Yeah, it will, and it hurts, man.
Yeah.
Because it'll just finally destroy you if you just keep doing what He says. And He tells you right offhand, you do that, it will destroy you.
That's right.
Now, I'll turn my hand upon you, and I'll purely purge away all your dross. I'll take away all your tin. I will restore your judges as at the first, and your lawyers, your counselors, as at the beginning. And what? Afterward, when the power of God, when there's a great awakening, that's what they're talking mm-hmm. about. We've seen it in this country more than once.
We have.
When it was at the worst it ever looked in history, it was the most ungodly, killingest, murderingest bunch of mess that this country had ever seen or ever even hoped to see.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, people started praying. It got to the point churches were so full at noontime. People
yep.
were taking their what little time they had for a noon meal and going into those churches and praying until it finally spread out all over this country.
It did.
And we're in store for the biggest one ever yet. We've been preparing for this for 100 years.
Yeah, we have.
And it's here.
Yeah.
So, I will restore your judges. Now, David, you read that from the second Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about just restoring judges and changing these men and women into what we think they ought to be. That's not the point.
Right.
It's what God said they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And here in that second Psalm, you read that a couple of days ago, and be wise now, O ye kings, be instructed, you judges mm-hmm. of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed. So we're talking about the blessing here. Mm-hmm. The blessing is released on they that put their trust in him. We're talking about judges, magistrates, lawmakers, lawgivers, most of them lawyers, counselors. Mm-hmm. He's talking here about the blessing of the Lord coming on them. And the blessing of God, man, this is an awakening to, oh, my God, he's real. Something is happening here. You know, there was one broke out in South Africa one time just because an old boy was out in the middle of his farm, and God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. And he went back home and changed clothes and went to talk to the leaders, and he started giving his testimony, and before it was over with, nearly everybody in the legislature of the country got baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It's just one spark will kick that off. And the worst looking no good in the world, just once you get a vision of Jesus and his hand comes on you.
Yeah. And what a difference.
Oh, brother.
We've got Eastern European nations now, former Soviet nations. I mean, one of them through what was called the Orange Revolution that began on a Sunday with churches and has now resulted in a prime minister saying, we dedicate this nation to Jesus Christ. Yeah. This is going to be a Christian nation. And another where that under the secular Soviet rule, abortion was fine. Now they have a coin with an unborn child on it to remind them that abortion is not fine. This is a gift of God.
That.
You know, what a difference the gospel makes and what a difference it makes for people and Christians and the church to get involved in that
now,
arena.
How do you get that? How do you get there? Well, he told us if my people call by my name will humble themselves and pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job, David, is to pray for these guys. One thing I realize, I'm not doing a good job of praying for these people according to this. And as long as I'm studying what they're doing wrong, mm-hmm. and I was studying it through the news media, I was studying what everybody, in other words, I kept my eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
You get your eyes off of that. What are they doing? They're mm-hmm. sinning. Well, what are they? They're sinners. Well, what's my
background? For that.
Sin.
Yeah, that's right.
But where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Mm-hmm. So now we've seen our purpose and our job. It's not first political parties. It's first of all change mm-hmm. under the hand of Almighty God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I believe with all my heart, we just pray, oh God, most people think about the hand of God coming on the government. They think about all this judgment. No, no, no. When the hand of God comes on somebody and just suddenly they're awake to his presence. If you ever look into those eyes, you ever are in his presence, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty,
man. That's right.
And you fall in love with him in a second's time, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, everything looks different. Mm-hmm. What looked right to you yesterday,
not the same.
It ain't
anymore.
The same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our prayer purpose right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, as people pray, what's the next step? Well, you're going to have to walk this thing out by faith.
Yeah.
You can't pray one day and say, oh, that dirty rat did it again. No, no.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't continue to put your mouth over on that person's mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's somebody you know in church or if it's President of the United States.
Right.
You can't major in that person's mistakes and walk by faith in what you prayed.
Romans 12:21 says, you overcome the evil with the good. You see something bad going on, that's not the time to start talking about. That's the time to go over to the good and overcome the evil. You focus on the bad. It's like driving a car. You'll drive that car wherever you look.
Wherever you look
off the side of the road, you're going to go off the side. You need to keep your eyes focused. And if you see bad stuff, all right, I'm not ignorant of it. I know it's out there, but I overcome the evil with the good, so that gives me a way to pray. I know the opposite. I love to pray the antithesis. When I see something going on, I want to pray the opposite of that. If something bad's going on, here's the opposite. That's what I want to pray. That's what I want to see happen, because that's what will overcome the bad.
This is the way that Gloria and I pray when it comes time to vote. Mm-hmm. And we're not voting just because we want to see so-and-so, or we like them, or I think they're going to make it easier for me to do this or that. No, no. You pray down these same lines.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen a whole lot more than once. I'm praying down certain things, and I know pretty well how this is going to go, particularly when it's in the primary times.
Yeah.
And I'm all of a sudden the Lord catches my attention, and He said, I want to point out something here to you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe later I meet some of these people.
Yeah.
And you meet a man, you know more about him almost instantly than you do for what little the news media will allow you to of that person.
That's right.
I've had this to happen in times past as I was praying for somebody like this. I'll just hold them up before the Lord. And it may be somebody that's governor of a state somewhere way off someplace, and it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
My governor's in the state of Texas, and of course I pray for him. And the people that are going to be candidates for governor in the future,
that's
I'm very interested in that. But then I'll have the Lord bring up somebody that's governor way off someplace, and he said, now, I want you to start praying over them. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, that ain't none of my business. Why? He's got plans.
That's right.
And he'll get out in front of
you
if you'll let him.
That's right.
And you just follow and follow and follow and pray and obey and pray and obey.
That's right.
And next thing you know, you're ministering to that person. Mm-hmm. And this is all the hand of the Lord. Great awakening. Don't you think that's what's caused this boiling up of all of this stuff in the first place?
I think it is, and I think it is a great awakening. The interesting thing about a great awakening, everyone we've ever had in history has spent decades. And so if we're expecting God to suddenly snap, I see signs on churches say weekend revival. There ain't no such thing. it don't happen. I mean, you could have a weekend renewal or a weekend, you know, encouragement meeting or whatever, but the best way to think of an awakening is a reformation, because it spans time. It's like watching your kids grow up. I mean, you don't really see them grow day by day, but suddenly say, your pants are too short. You know, what have you been doing, growing? I didn't see it day by day, but
yeah,
I see indications along
the
way. And that's the way an awakening has always been. See, the first great awakening in America went from 1730 to 1770. That's a 40-year span, but that was the Great Awakening. And without that, there is no United States of America without that Great Awakening.
Yeah.
That's a 40-year revival. We think of revivals in short periods of time. That's not the way God works in revivals. He works through Josiah or Jehoshaphat. He works across a generation of time to do some things. The Second Great Awakening, historians have a tough time distinguishing the Second Great Awakening from the Third Great Awakening, because they kind of bump up on each other.
Mm-hmm.
But between the two of them, you go from 1801 to 1878. That's 77 years. I mean, literally, you could have been born in 1802, you could have lived a full, rich life of 75 years and died in 1877 and never knew you were in a revival, because your whole life was in a revival.
Yeah. Well, that has a whole lot to do with where we are right now.
That's right.
The reason why we're sitting here in front of a TV camera. And
that's right.
At the beginning of your and my ministry, there wasn't any such thing as this except for Rex Humbard and Oral Roberts. That's about it.
That's it.
And then Billy Graham had occasional television appearances. Man, we're talking about ministry after ministry. Just think about just what's happened in the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's all part of it. The internet is all part of it. I mean, this whole thing has come up to this point right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the first indications I had of something really interesting going on came maybe in one of the most unusual ways I'd expect it. Looking at a national revival, it came from the majority leader of the House of Representatives. He had become a Christian, and boy, was he on fire. I mean, for 18 months, every time I saw him in Washington, D.C., he was dragging his pastor with him everywhere he went. And he's from Texas, and so he's having his pastor there all the time. So he came out with a piece that he did, a Dear Colleague letter to all of Congress, and said, guys, there's a revival going on in the nation, and if we're not careful, we're going to miss this thing in Congress. And he looked at it in a way I've never thought of before. He said, you know, he said, Nashville right now is in a real downturn in the music industry. Rock, rap, rhythm and blues, jazz, it's all down. It's only growing at 1% to 2% a year in record sales and CDs and MP3s. He said, but if you look at gospel music, it's up 15, 16, 17% per year. I mean, it is shooting through the roof. It's the only thing going up. He said, look at the internet. And he said, I don't know, something like 15,000 new sites come up every day, but the largest portion of them were Christian websites going up. And he said, look at the explosion of Christianity that's going in the nation like we've never seen it. And I'd never thought of looking at the music industry to see what the growth rate was, or looking at the internet to see how many Christian websites came up out of all total websites. And it was fascinating stuff. And that's the kind of growth we've been seeing steadily now for a few years. And it leads to a point where that God says, okay, now it's time to break off the bands. This thing's been growing.
Yeah.
It's time to get you out of Egypt and get you over in the promised land.
It's time to get her
done. I've had you here for a while in Egypt and in the wilderness, but it's time to get out of the wilderness and go over.
And man, when they were in Egypt and it came time to leave, I mean, the pot boiled over, didn't it?
And you wouldn't have expected it to happen at the time that it did. I mean, there was nothing going on at the time that would suddenly say, oh, it's time, except God says, now it's time. Yeah. You know, he'd been preparing them for years. Who knew that Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years getting trained for this, you know? All those people in slavery didn't have a clue there was a guy named Moses or that God was about to do anything with him.
Neither did Moses.
Neither did Moses, exactly. But in the fullness of time.
I see it, man.
And that's what I think we're at right now.
You go back to Azusa Street.
Yeah.
Early days.
1906,
1907, 1910. And then the things that started picking up after that. Mm-hmm. Well, it all majored in the Holy Ghost. It majored in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then in the gifts of the Spirit. And then they began to learn the truth behind the new birth and what actually happened. And what's God doing? He's restoring truth to the body of Christ first. Well, it's never stopped.
That's a building block and a foundation, and it's been growing and growing. And now it's time for some manifestation, if you will. I mean, I love the scripture in Galatians 4, verses 1 and 2. It says that even the heir, though he's heir of everything, is still under the tutor until the time appointed the master.
Until he grows up.
And I think we've been kind of at the immaturity stage, but we're growing, we're expanding, we're knowing how to use the tools God's given us. And now it's time to be an adult.
And look, as God was doing that, and he would take one group, and he would go to the next thing, and a lot of that group would just hang back. They wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But then this group would take a hold of it, and then as they progressed, then they wouldn't go on.
Yep.
But he's always had some that would.
That's right.
And I was talking to Brother Lester Sumrall, and this was close to the end of his time here on the earth, and I'm visiting with him about these things. And he said that he prayed and told God way back. He said, don't you ever do nothing not let me know about it. He said, I want to be in the middle of everything.
Right.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
This guy went through the back door of most nations of the earth preaching the gospel and that every move that God made, Brother Lester would come right on. He'd cross the lines and they'd get on him about it and
see,
all of that.
And that's breaking the paradigms, because what happens is you get comfortable in a zone, and Jeremiah 28 says that the problem with Israel at that point in time was that he said they rested on their lees.
Yeah.
And that was part of the winemaking process, where they didn't get agitated, they didn't get stirred up, they just got settled in. I'm getting white hair.
And the wine
hair
was no good.
The wine, it was bitter. It was not worth anything, because they weren't being agitated and stirred and moved. And I got white hair, and I recognize that God moves young generations into inhabit the land. He leaves the old guys to die in the wilderness. But I'm determined. I'm going to be a Joshua and Caleb.
I'm not going.
I'm going to do what it takes to be with young bucks when they go in that land.
And
I'm not going to be an old wineskin.
No, sir.
And he can change as many times as he wants.
Sir.
I'm going to be right with him.
I want to be there.
I'm going to be part of it.
And I've watched all this grow up until it hit that great healing revival.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the hand of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Jesus had to literally appear personally to a number of men just to change their doctrine and their thinking so that he could go on with this thing. But thank God they went with him.
Make them in a new wineskin so they can take new wine.
And then Brother Hagin stepped out there and said, now this is what faith is all about. Mm-hmm. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou. And they fussed with him and fought with him over it. And he just kept on going.
And that's been the whole story of the church, is when God moves, you get a lot of resistance from within the church to say, wait a minute, that's not the way we've done it. Well, they're the ones that end up getting left behind, and now what becomes mainstream is what God was trying to do.
Think about in the light of all this that's going on out here now in overburdening debt and that kind of thing.
Yep.
And back there, God started talking to Gloria and me about being out of debt, living debt, believing God for no debt at all.
That's right.
The first year we were in this ministry, that's 41 and a half years ago that he said that to us. Well, we didn't understand it, but we stepped out on it. Mm-hmm. And then he began to teach us, and as he taught us, we taught people. And little bit by little bit by little bit, of course, all this time, I'm teaching Mark 11:23, just like Brother Hagin did, and I'm teaching healing like Oral Roberts, my spiritual father, did.
Yeah.
I mean, so here we are. We took out of that generation, and here we came.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if everybody just took hold of that and said, there's not going to be any more debt in our lives? Right now, we don't have any problem what's going on because we're not trapped in
that
thing. Amen.
That's
what we're saying here is this. This is the end of an era. All of this debt and all of this mess and all of the stuff that the government's found itself in and all that, it's changing. And you and I are pressing that change in the Spirit. And we're there. And we're right in the middle of it. And if you want to just pick up and step on across Jordan and step on across that boundary, we're headed into a time, brother,
that
is beyond anything anybody's ever seen before. And we're going to take this president and we're going to take all these others that we can get and believe God for them. We're going to take them right on in there
with us.
We're out of time. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Let God's glory shine in your life at the 2009 Southwest Believers Convention.
It's a time of refreshing
to get just saturated completely with the Word of God.
Abraham's blessing is mine. The Eden blessing is mine. My circumstance is supposed to look just like the Garden of Eden.
It's life for my children. It's health to my children.
We came to hear from God.
Now that you're in Christ Jesus, then you can walk together with Him in this earth realm.
The more you engage, the more you receive.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. With Super Kid Academy for ages 6 through 12 and 1440 for ages 13 through 18, there's a place for the whole family. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
You know, nothing happens, really, in your faith life, in your tithing, in your giving of offerings, or the things that we've been talking about, believing God for the hand of the Lord, on our judges and our president and our pastors, anybody else. Nothing happens till you sow towards it. It is so amazing. I look back over the 42 years we've been in this ministry. Everything that has ever happened in the growth of this ministry started with a revelation, but it manifested because of sowing towards it. And I learned that from Brother Roberts.
Yeah.
He told me this personally, and I've heard him preach it. He said, whatever God tells you to do, don't even try to do it without you sow the seed for it first. Mm-hmm. And he said, it needs to be a seed that is so strong and outstanding that you know it when it goes through you. Yeah. He said, it's not just a little deal in your life. Well, here it is right here in the sixth chapter of Galatians. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap zoe, reap life, the very life of God. Everlasting life is the phrase that it uses there. Now, who's he talking to? Let him that's taught in the Word respond to that Word taught by sowing something in it. Now, you pray about it today. What, Father, reveal to people what their part of this is financially. And you do whatever the Lord tells you to do. Amen. It's not what I tell you to do or what anybody suggests to you to do. You go before the Lord God and you say, Lord, I've heard things today. Now I need to know what I need to sow about this to energize the very life, the eternal life that got me saved in the first place, to rise up and make these words and these prayers and these faith ways of life part of me. Not just what I heard somebody say, but this becomes part of my spirit.
That's right.
And that's what causes you to eat the good of the land. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So pray over it and obey God. Now, all of you outside the United States, you're receiving this ministry, radio, television, internet, whatever. It stays in the area. It doesn't come here to the United States. It stays in the area where you are being blessed. Go to church this weekend. Praise God. Get in there with a bunch of praising, shouting believers. Amen. David, thank you. God bless you, man.
Always great to be with
you. You have really stirred me up as usual. Praise God. We'll see you next week. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at kcm.org. There you can purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life.
Hello, I'm John Copeland.
And I'm Jesse DePlantis. We are so excited about the next 2 weeks that are coming up. You know, Brother and Sister Copeland and John asked me to be a guest, and we'll be talking about vision. What is your vision? Will it become a reality? We're going to give you the answers to these things. You're going to know what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. So don't miss these broadcasts. See you soon.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.